or not, but just for a text, I want to take this thought. God's Word calls for a total separation from unbelief. And now I wish to read out of the Bible, over in the book of Genesis, the 13th chapter of Genesis, and we wish to start with the 5th verse to read. I just love to read the Word because what I say could fail. That's a man. But if I just read this Word, what he says can't fail. So then I know there'll be good come out of it, if no more than just reading the Word. The 5th verse we begin of the 13th chapter. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and Perizzite dwelt in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. And if thou wilt take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest out of Zorah. Then Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward, and they separated themselves one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the city of the plains, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abraham, After that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give thee, and to thy seed forever. Now the thought of God's Word calling a total separation. We only know this by as we read the Word and see the Word manifest itself. Now, in the beginning, Genesis 1:3, we find that there was darkness upon the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the water and said, Let there be light. And there was light, and God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. So the Word of God began to separate the light from the darkness from the beginning. So does it remain to this day. As I said last night of Jesus, when he was only 12 years old, and being a mistake of his mother, who is claimed by people to be the mother of God, and how that the woman said, While thy father and I have sought thee with tears. And quickly he, being the Word, said, Knowest thou not that I must be about my father's business? See, she was declaring him to be Joseph's son. But he wasn't Joseph's son. If he had been Joseph's son, he has been with him. But he was with the father about his business. So the Word is always corrective and always right, and the Word will correct ever wrong. Always. Now when the earth, that God was going to use the earth, and it was in total darkness, the Spirit of God spoke out and said, Let there be light, and he separated the light from the darkness. And it's been doing that ever since, separating light from darkness. God's Word also separated the water from the land in the beginning. God spoke and the water was separated from the land, so that he had a reason for that. God never speaks a word unless he's got a reason for speaking that word. He's not like you and I, that we just, or especially myself, that speaks so many foolish things. God speaks every word with a meaning and something that He's trying to achieve and will achieve by His Word. And it will perform exactly what He said it will do. Now, if God said, let there be light, and there was no light, then that wasn't God that said that. When God says anything, He must back up what He says.
Yes.
And when the Word of God has been vindicated, the Word been vindicated, that is light. Now, the Word itself is light until it's a vindicated light. If God said, let there be light, and there was no light, then it wasn't the Word of God. But when light sprung upon the earth, that showed the Word was vindicated, and it was light. Now today, if God has made a promise, and when that promise is vindicated, then that is light. That's the light of the day when the Word is vindicated. The Word for the hour is vindicated. Then God was going to have a earth that He was going to grow vegetation and have people up on the earth. And then He spoke and separated the waters from the sea. Then also He separated, in Genesis, life from death. Now, if we believe the Word of God, it is the Word of life to us.
Right.
But if we question the Word of God, it's death to us. For God has spoken, who can deny it? And if we question the Word of God, then it becomes death. Like Eve. Now, Eve questioned one little phase of God's Word. And what did it do? Caused all this trouble that we have. If she would have remained behind the Word, fortified, behind the Word, the whole armor of God, and not disbelieved it, then it would have never had the way it has. It never been this way. But you see, there came death. Then God also had an atonement, being merciful to us. He accepted a substitute death for their death, which both He separated life from death also in the Garden of Eden, and He did it by His Word. And today He does the same thing. When we're in gross darkness, as I spoke on Sunday, darkness upon the land, upon the people in gross darkness, in the midst of all of this, He's still speaking His Word of life to those who want to believe it. And now we find that if Jesus has constantly told us that there's a separation, and we find that the last thing that's predicted to the human race before the great final day when we ascend into the presence of God, there will be a final separation. He will separate the sheep from the goats. God will continually has been separating. And that's what He's doing tonight. It's what He always does. You can see it in every meeting. He separates faith from unbelief. He speaks out. He declares Himself to those who will believe Him, have faith in Him. Now we find out in Numbers, the 6th chapter, that a Nazarite call was to separate themselves from all the world to the Word of God. Now that is a Nazarite call. Separated. We find out that Samson was a Nazarite unto the Lord, and he was separated from the by a sign. And this sign was that he was to wear his hair long with 7 locks. It was a sign of separation, that he was called for a purpose. And I don't want to get started on this, because I said that I was just going to speak a few minutes. But I think today when we see our sisters wearing long hair, as the Bible said they should, I think it's a Nazarite sign that they want to follow the Lord. I know that sounds flat, and I want it to go home, see, because it is. It looks like somebody is trying to keep something that God told them to do. No matter what the price the world has to say about it out there, how many scornful or laughers or critics, that doesn't bother a person that's totally separated from the things of the world to the things of God. They'll obey the Word and separate themselves from the things of the world, because the Word separates them. I know they stand criticism, but if we wasn't criticized, then there'd be something wrong. The world always knows its own. But as I've said, that remember, criticism on the count of the Word of God is only growing pains of His grace. It shows that you have separated yourself to be a Christian, to act like one, to live like one, to obey every commandment of God. And it's a Nazarite vow to separate, a call from God that separates you from the things of the world. I believe tonight that every man and woman, every boy and girl that's born of the Spirit of God is a Nazarite unto the Lord.
Amen.
Because they have separated them things, themselves, from the cares of the world. And whatever the world's got to say, you live in this city here where there's great schools, and we see our nation calling for higher standard of education, which is all right, nothing to say about that. But that education cannot give you salvation. A scientist can split a grain of wheat and tell you how many different chemicals is in it, but it can't find the life that's in there. An education can learn you or teach you mathematics, and it can teach you history and whatever more, but it cannot bring life to you. Your education will not do that.
That's right.
God has one way of bringing life to you. That's when you're ready to separate yourself from all the things of the world and all the cares of the world, and cling only to God's promised Word. Paul was a Nazarite unto the Lord. He was separated from his Orthodox church to the Word of the living God. Aaron was a Nazarite unto the Lord. He was separated from among the brethren to bear the birthstones and to be the high priest. It is a total separation. We're not to go back into the world no more or have anything to do with the world, but cleave only unto God. Jesus is coming after a bride, a woman, a church that's separated from the things of the world or the cares of the world. She's separated from the fashions of this modern age that we live in. She's separated from the cares and the traditions of churches. She's separated only to God, and God is the Word. And as husband and wife is one, so does the bride and the Word become one, for the Word's living through the bride.
Amen.
That's her credentials. That's her identification. If I could pull out a PhD or LLD and show you my credentials from certain organization or from some school, that school would recognize that credential. But the only credential that a believer has is the Word of God living in him, declaring Jesus Christ lives in that person.
That's right.
That's a separated Nazarite unto the Lord, separated for the Word's sake. The Bible said the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting to the sunder and the mire of the bone, and discerns the thoughts that's in the heart. That's the reason Jesus could look upon the people and perceive what they were thinking. He was the Word. Now the first Adam that was born in the world, or not born, but created by God, the first Adam separated himself from the Word to his wife. Now he could have stayed with the Word if he wished to, but he separated himself from the Word to be with his wife. That's exactly what the common, carnal church member does today. Separates themselves from the true living Word to hold to their church. Where the Eve put a question upon the Word whether God would punish or not. Satan put the question, Eve believed it. And then when the church today puts the question upon the Word, is he the same? Does he still live in his church and perform his signs and miracles that he did when he was here on earth, which he so surely promised us in St. John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Even greater than this shall he do, for I go to my Father. These signs shall follow them that believe. Shall follow them. The question is, for the people today, does he really mean it? And when you accept what the church says, does he really mean it? Then you put yourself in the same condition that Adam did and join yourself with the woman of the church of this world and separate yourself from the blessings that God has promised to every believer that would separate himself from the world to the Word. Now that's the truth. We have had the privilege of living in the day that when the Word of God that we've seen is lauded through each age for certain things to happen. And when this is lauded, sometimes the man wonder how it's going to be done. Professors have their own idea. But in them ages, God has always set forth His prophet. And the Word of the Lord comes to the prophet and vindicates the Word to that generation. And the prophet is always a Nazarite, separated from everything else to obey the Word of God. Do you remember what Peter and John said? Is it right for us to obey man or God? When they questioned them about the experience of Pentecost. Now, the first man separated himself, the first Adam, from the Word to go with his wife that questioned whether God kept his Word or not. What a perfect type of the lukewarm, carnal-minded believer today that still wants to cling with what the tradition says instead of taking what the Word says.
That's it.
A very real type. He was separated to his wife. The carnal believer is separated from the Word to the church. But when the second Adam was created in the womb of a woman and came to the world, he was a Nazarite to the Word of God. He was separated from the world to the Word. Now Hebrews, the 7th chapter, 26th verse, tells us that. That them priests continually die. But this Jesus is holy and separated from sinners. Sin is unbelief. There was no unbelief found in him nowhere. When he was here on earth, he said, "Who can condemn me of sin?" Sin is unbelief. If I haven't done just what was prophesied for this age, if I haven't met the requirements of what Messiah is supposed to do, then don't believe me. He said, "Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they that testify of me, tell you who he is." Because it had been prophesied since Eden that there would come a Savior. The prophet said he'd be born of a virgin. And how that he'd be called Emmanuel. And also he was a counselor, the Prince of Peace, Mighty God. And that's what they accused him of, making himself God. He was God.
Amen.
And he was the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, and the Everlasting Father. There's no other Father but him, spiritually speaking. He's the only Father, the Father of us all. And we find all believers he's the Father of, all who will believe his Word. For he was completely separated from the church, from his traditions, from his mother, from the world, and only did that which pleased the Father. Now, he was a different person from Adam. No matter what anybody questioned, to him the Word, it was the Word always first. And he proved that the Word was right. When Satan tried to whitewash it for him and said, "It's written," he said, "Yes, and it's also written." He withstood Satan upon the Word because that's what he was, the Word. In the Bible, First John, St. John, the first chapter, said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's always a connection with the spoken Word of God. God's promise for the day. And when it comes, it's so unusual that people can hardly grasp it because we're so sowed into forms and ideas of our own that it's hard for us to grasp what's truth. I think much of that would apply to Joseph in the days of Mary in her maternity. She was to be mother, and Joseph loved her, and he He wanted to believe. He was a righteous man, a good man. And he wanted to believe that story that Mary was telling him. But still there was a question that now she's a good woman. No doubt Mary had explained to him the visit of Gabriel to her. And he was a just man in the lineage of David. And yet it looked like that she was trying to use him for a shield to take off her reproach. Because if she was engaged to him and to be found in this condition was the same as adultery, Deuteronomy tells us so, and would be stoned for the act. And it looked like that she was using him for a shield. And the man, a good man, a just man, the Bible said he was, a just man. But her case was so unusual that he could not grasp it. He'd look in her lovely face and the sincerity and honesty that she would tell her story in. And no doubt, but he'd go to his home or his carpenter shop, say, I just can't see how she would tell me wrong. But the case is so unusual. If he would have only searched the scriptures that a virgin is to conceive. See, it was so unusual to him because it was out of the line of his thinking. But she is exactly in the scripture. And so is it today, brethren, that the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ Amen. And his promised word of this hour is so unusual, good man, stumble over it. It's too unusual. They say that the dead was raised up, the blind see, the deaf hear, the Holy Spirit discerns the thoughts. Foretell things that's coming to pass. Never fail at one time. Or they can't grasp it. It's so unusual, so they say, well, it's a telepathy or it's an evil spirit, just like they did in that day. The unusualness of the Word of God. But when a man is born in the world for a believer, he becomes a Nazarite when he separates himself from anything that's contrary to the Word. A total separation. Jesus said, I come to separate a man from his wife. Tear up a family. And he that won't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy to be called mine. A separation from everything. Anything from church, from a community, from a belief, or from family, or anything that would stand between you and believing the entire Word of God if your soul will not punctuate every promise for this hour with an amen, there's something wrong somewhere. You need a separation. So Jesus was the Word made flesh, and he was completely separated from sinners, unbelievers, that the Word itself flowed completely and thoroughly flew through him. That he said, I do nothing until I see the Father do it first. They asked him, questioned him about things. He said, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father doing. Watch, everything that he said was perfect. Just, he had not to ask about it, think about it. It was perfect. And his perfect truth always separated the truth from error. Even as I quote back again, his mother said, thy father and I, before those priests that should already testify it was a virgin born son. But in the moments of her grief, how could a 12-year-old boy, and we have no record of him even being in school, how could his intelligence be so great as to debate with a priest? Sage, learned man. And why, when she called that this Joseph was his father, quickly, the Word of God, he was separated. He was the Word. And the Word corrected the error. Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business. That was not just that little 12-year-old boy. That was the Word of God speaking through his little childish mouth to correct error, separating, like he did in the beginning, darkness from light, alive from the truth. Death from life. It's a separation. Always the Word requires total and complete separation. Regardless, Jesus said, let every man's word be a lie. Let mine be true.
That's right.
All down through the ages, this same thing has happened. It's a separating. Always he separates his people from the unbelief. He did it at the beginning. He does it same today. Each one of the prophets was separated from unbelief. The reason they did that is because the word of the Lord came to them. Now, I believe in the night somewhere, perhaps this year Sunday or last night, that I was speaking what the word seer in the Old Testament meant. It meant a man, a diviner, a man that would tell the future events that were coming to pass. And then when they come to pass exactly, without failure, come to pass exactly what he said, then God said, listen to this man, or hear him, fear him, for I'm with him. Then he had the divine interpretation of the written word, for that was his credentials of identification, that he was God's prophet and the word come to him.
Amen.
Right. Now, separation. It separated Isaiah from the church world. It separated Moses from the church world. It separated all the great prophets through the ages from the church world, because it separated Jesus from his brethren. It separated the apostles from the church. It was at that day the Pharisees, Sadducees, great man, holy man, good man, fine man, humble man, man that had fruit of the Spirit, more so than what Jesus exercised. But what was his credentials? That the Word was with him. The Word promised of that day was living through him. He said, which one of you can condemn me of sin? Which one of you can say that what I have claimed hasn't happened? That for he showed that he was a separated Nazarite of the Lord. He was the Lord himself in flesh. Abraham also, he was a separated person from the world. When God called Abraham at 75 years old, separate yourself from your kindred and from all the unbelief, and come out into a world that you've never walked in before, and amongst a people that you've never known before. Come out and separate yourself from anybody that would be contrary to what you're believing, that you'd be a Nazarite unto the Lord, because he was holding a promise of a son. He had to separate from his father, from his mother, from his kindred. And what separated him? Not because he was a good man, but because he believed that God was able to keep the promise he had given. And when he was 25 years later, and the baby had never come, Sarah being 90, he 100, and when the angel of the Lord visited him, as Jesus referred to, that would come again in the last days, God, in a human form, sat down before him and talked. And Sarah, being almost 100 years old, in the tent behind him, laughed because the angel said, I will visit you according to the time of the promise. And she said, me being old, and would have pleasure again with my Lord, seeing he's old. And this man, which was God in flesh, said, why did Sarah laugh in the tent? Now, she ran out and tried to deny it. But he said, yes, but you did laugh, because she didn't believe it could be right. Now notice, Jesus said that would come again, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man.
Amen.
Again, the Spirit of God will come upon mortal human flesh. That man eat the meat of a calf, drinking the milk from the cow, and eat butter and bread in human flesh. And Abraham said he was Elohim, God manifested in flesh. Jesus promised that God, before his coming, would be manifested in human flesh again. That's the Holy Spirit. He's only one God. Manifesting itself, separating again Lot from Abraham. Lot wanted the world. God tore up his world and separated Abraham and Lot. Lot being a type again of a carnal believer who didn't think these things were true. He just went on down in Sodom and he didn't have the real spunk to stand out, as we call it, and call what was right, right, and wrong, wrong. So he went down. All these believers, as we could go on for hours, all these were like a bunch of change out of your pocket in God's hands. You pull out a bunch of change. There's pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, half a dollars, dollar, all in coins. Now that's what the world is in God's hand. There's some people that's just can have a penny's worth of it, and God can only use them in a penny way. That's all they can buy. Don't reject them. If they can't believe the real truth, don't turn them down. Don't kick them out and say they're not in it, because God uses pennies sometimes.
Amen.
Lot was just a penny. Abraham was a silver dollar. Amen. So it taken 100 lots to make an Abraham. So will it take 100 carnal believers who will never stand in the presence of a genuine Christian that's separated from the carnal things of the world.
Amen.
Living in Christ Jesus where the Word can flow through him. He can only take a penny's worth. That's all he's got. So you see people say, oh, I don't believe in healing. I don't believe in these things. Just know it's a penny, but just let him alone. And just a penny's worth. And so that's all he can buy. Don't stop him. Just let him alone. Remember, that's just all farther he can go. Joseph, he was separated from his brethren. Yeah, I didn't mean that hardly in that way that I said it. See, I mean, if he just, well, I belong to this and that's what we believe, it's just a penny. Go ahead. See, just a penny. Say, well, the Lord bless you, my brother. See, he's copper. He can never be silver. So just let it go ahead. God can use him. Oh, he's using it. I'd rather see him down there in a church than see a bar room stand there on the corner, wouldn't you? Sure. So just let it alone. God can use it anyhow. Maybe not very much, but he'll use what he can use as much as he'll let him use. So that's kind of a rude way to express anything. But I hope you get the truth that I mean and what it's meant. See, if he can't believe in the discernment and the powers of God that's promised for this day, those Pharisees couldn't do it either. They couldn't see Jesus being God. Oh, no, you make yourself God, a man. One day he was standing there after he'd multiplied loaves of bread and so forth for them. And he said, unless you eat the bread, the Son of Man's body, and drink his blood, there's no life in you. Oh, imagine this congregation. They walked away from him. This man expects us to be a cannibal, eat somebody's flesh? Oh, that's crazy. Doctors, medical doctors and so forth said, the man's insane. That's all there is. The priest is right. That man is crazy. Give us his body to eat. That's all he said. See, but the spiritual mind, maybe they could not understand it, those disciples. They didn't know just exactly what it meant, but they believed it anyhow. Because where did it come from? It come from the one they know to be the Son of God. I might not be able to understand all that's in here, but I believe it.
Amen.
It's God's Word. I want to separate myself from anything that's contrary to it. I've tried to stand like that. Notice another group, the 70 he called. One day he's standing talking to them, and he said, the Son of Man shall ascend up into heaven from whence he come from. They said, this man, he's taken us to the place he was born. We know his mother, Mary. Well, we know his brothers. We know all. And then this man's going to take the Son of Man is coming, going up into heaven. From whence he come from? He come from Bethlehem. How did he do that? See, he said it in that way. See? And they walked with him no more. They walked away. They said, oh, this man, we know there's something wrong with him. Them disciples sat right there. See? They believed. They had seen the promised Word for that day. Vindicated and manifested by him. Who could create but God himself could take bread? And they know he was the Son of God, whether it was in riddles or not, that whether they understood it or not, they walked right on anyhow, because the Word was vindicated and they were separated from anything contrary to it. God help us to have faith like that. We believe this Bible to be the truth. I may not have faith enough to make all the promises come to pass, but I believe it anyhow.
Amen.
I believe the hour that we're living. Joseph separated from his brethren without a cause. Now, what was the matter with him? He was not willing to be separated. It wasn't his will to separate, but they separated themselves from him. See? From his bright, shiny dollar, their pennies worth, couldn't stand it. They know they were patriarchs. They know that Isaac was their, Jacob was their father. And they know that to be true. But Joseph was born, he couldn't help it. He was spiritual. He saw visions, could interpret dreams, and they were perfectly right. Whatever he said was the truth. And his patriarch brothers moved with envy and sold him to the Egyptians. See, they separated themselves from him because they were pennies. He was of a different quality. So is a real believer today. He's of a different quality. They'll separate themselves. They don't understand it. Copper from silver. Now, we find out they move with envy and sold him. Why? They do the same thing today. What it really was, they said it was for jealousy. They didn't want to break down because if the quality in them were not the quality that was in him, and because of it, they were jealous because they were pennies and he was a dollar. See? Now if the pennies say, blessed be the name of the Lord, my brother dollar here. See? I can't make the change that he does, but I'll make what I can. That's that. We go along then. God will get his program over. As I preached to you Sunday, the great symphony of God's word being beat out. The changes and junctions is only God changing times like the director in the symphony. When we see these changes of ages and changes of times, look down on the sheet here and you'll find out we're supposed to be here.
Amen.
They've got to do this. There's no way for them to keep from it. And the music to a man that doesn't understand the symphony, what is it? It's a bunch of rattling noise. He doesn't understand it. He's not even interested. He's wishing, I wish it shut up so I could go home. He's not interested because he doesn't know the sympathy. He doesn't know it. But the composer knows the end from the beginning.
Right.
See? And if the director isn't in the same spirit of the composer, he cannot act it out because it's all done by signs. And if the sign don't vindicate it, how's the musicians going to play it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's it. If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who can who know how to prepare for war, or retreat, or what doing? Look at the Word and see where we're living. Then you can see pennies, what they do. But you can see those who are glistening, watching, knows the Word, watching for these signs to happen. There it is. Like the little woman at the well, when he said, go get your husband. She said, I have none. Said, that's right, you got five. She said, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. We haven't had him for hundreds of years. But we know the Messiah's coming and he's going to be a prophet. That's what he'll do. He said, I'm he. Oh, the sympathy beat went just exactly right. From the low plumb to the high. She ran into the city and said, come see a man who's told me the things that I've done. Isn't this the very Messiah that we look forward to? Certainly. See, she understood what the sheet music was in the sympathy that separates belief from unbelief. Faith can only not come by a church. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, knowing what it is. Now, we find the same thing today. Many people look at gifts. In closing now, 5 more minutes. People look at gifts and they think, oh, what a great thing. And they try to impersonate gifts. You can't do that. You can't make a penny be a dollar. You can't make it be a dime. You can't make it be a nickel. It's a penny. But if you just recognize yourself as a penny, go with the rest of the change. See? God can use you. We might not be able to do all. There wasn't everybody when God called Israel out of Egypt. Every one of them didn't have to do the same thing Moses did. But they believed it.
Amen.
Right? They believed Moses. Because they know that it was a sign of the hour. And that God had proved that he had his word. They said, Pharaoh's got spears. He said, but Moses has his word. That's it. Pharaoh's might have an army. But Moses had the word because he was God's prophet and the word come to him. And had been vindicated that it was the truth. It was a living God who could take dust and throw it up and make fleas come. Man can't do that. As a man that stood there and said, tomorrow about this time it'd be such and such. And it was. See? They know Moses had God's word. No matter how many spears and dungeons Pharaoh had, and how many bricks to make, Moses had the word. So they started into the wilderness. There was a man, Dathan, said, Moses takes too much upon himself. We're all holy people, so we all ought to be able to do what Moses did. And Moses said, God, what about this? He said, separate yourself. Get away from him. And he opened up the earth and swallowed up Dathan and his group. He separated light from darkness by vindicating his word.